WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
Hip hip hooray, let's give a cheer. It's 9 a.m., the signal's clear. Our favorite host is in the chair. The Truman Show is on the air.
It's the Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
The Truman Show is on the air. The Truman Show is on the air.
Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. Of course, everybody knows that this is normally the Dan Whittle Day, but Dan is kind of resting a little bit today. So I told him that I was going to have Bud Mitchell and Jerry Robinson on to take his place, and he said, yeah, it takes two, but probably it's going to take three to take my place. Well, guess what? We have Paul Nipper on today, too. So we have a trio today. You know, it'd be great if you guys would just sing something. And I was thinking, Bud, when you was on your way, your favorite song in the whole wide world is Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer.
Jingle Bell.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Do you think you could sing it again?
Well, you know, I don't know what happened. I was still under the medicine. And I reckon I was thinking about Charlie Binkley. We used to race with him down at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And he always had the Pabst Blue Ribbon on it. And that's the only reason I could ever think of, because it's been 1972 since I ever tasted anything. And I don't know what in the world happened to me. I guess people just think, well, I'm drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, God.
But if it did away with Mountain Dew, I guess I would be in trouble.
Well, you know, you always were an escape artist, so I knew you'd find a way to get out of this one. You got Jerry Robinson on today, and Jerry, you you've got Slick Pig, and so many people like to stop by there and eat and talk. It's just kind of like a old home week. And you had some of the guys in class of 58 over there, and some of them I haven't seen in years.
Well, some of them I didn't even know. But, of course, I went to Central. Didn't go to school there at Central, but we all kind of, like I was talking last night, we'd all get acquainted Saturdays up there at North Lovin's Pool Hall.
Yeah, yeah.
After the basketball, that was a Tuesday, mm-hmm. Friday night deal. So Saturday morning, Saturday through the day, really, we'd all kind of meet and get around. That's how I met most of the Central guys. Of course, Bud, you guys I knew, and then Bobby Boyd right across the road, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we just became friends through the years over there. But, yeah, they had a class of 58, I guess, yeah. And they're planning their get together. I don't know what's, I guess, a week or so away here, but
mm-hmm. they kind of get together on their own like we were doing. I know Bud and I and Ray Troop and Richard Reeves and Bob Mifflin, and I know I'm going to miss some, because we haven't, for some reason, we kind of dropped the ball and we haven't been together in months. Of course, it's Ray Troop's fault, because he's the hardest one to get over here, and he stayed busy all the time, even though he is retired. And I know that Paul's facing away from the microphone over there, and he's going to be, it needs to be in front of him, because Paul is a member of the family that was one of the best basketball families that we've ever had in Rutherford County, and they were a big part of the Kittrell championship team, and should have been the state champion. I mean, they actually did have the best team in the state at that time. And Paul, look at him.
He's wanting to sing.
Listen, Paul, this is a radio show. We don't mime here. I don't think it'll come across unless you say something. But you brought him here in spirit, but I don't think we're going to do any.
Well, see, I'm not going to push it, because I told Paul, I said, ride town with me. He said, no, I'm not going to be on that radio show. I said, well, just ride town with me. And then when we got closer, he said, no, I'm not going to say nothing. I said, I'm not push you to say nothing. So I'm not.
Well, that's
pushing.
What you did last time.
I'm not pushing him to say anything.
Yeah, but if you remember, we got started talking about something, and then he found that it needed correcting, And he just pushed us out of the way and talked for the next 30 minutes.
Well, I figured it out. If we'll tell enough stories, he'll finally get the story straightened out, because he know we're not telling the truth on part of them.
What is it about people who live off Woodbury Highway area over there that they can tell all kinds of tales? And they're some of the smartest people that I've ever met, just like my Aunt Nancy. I mean, she you were going to bring her over here one day.
She went out there, and she kind of stringed up one eye, and she said, I'm not going up there. And I was going to bring her down. I'd act like we was going to go get something to eat. Mm-hmm. She figured that out right quick.
Oh, well.
Now, who did you have over there, Jerry, that came to your place? Now, I know you had Sonny Elam was one of them.
Right. Larry Lisinski.
Oh, Larry Lou.
I had to get my list out. Hooper Pinuels, right?
Yeah.
And then we had Sonny Elam.
Yeah.
Mitchell Jacobs.
Okay.
And then we had...
you had Elfrida there.
Yes, I
Elfrida
did.
Elfrida Jones.
Uh-huh. And then we had another one, a gentleman, Gary Earls.
Uh-huh, yeah, Gary Earls.
And the one of the ladies was... Miss Stone, Edith Stone.
Oh, I remember Edith well.
And
the sweetest girl.
It seemed like she really enjoyed herself. And Linda Haynes,
uh-huh,
and Betty Kirksey. I remember,
those. Betty was married to Graydon Kirksey,
yeah.
Dr. Kirksey's son. And they lived in Memphis for years. And Betty's back here, and her sister Judy's back here. And they were, that's Hokie Johns' daughters.
All right. Well, you know, see, y'all were right there close together. Was you 59?
We're the class of 59.
Okay, 58, yeah.
Yeah.
And Larry Hilton, I think I mentioned him. He was there. But
so the occasion, were they planning or something, or were they just there eating as a group?
You know,
that's what we do.
I think they were going to plan something. I got in right at the last there, and they started, you know, calling back. I didn't know they were coming, to tell you the truth about it. I was out delivering food again.
Mm-hmm.
And, but when I got there, I looked back, and I recognized two or three faces, and they started waving. They said, hey, I've been wanting you to come back here and talk. So, strange enough, of course, the ones I knew, but Larry, of course, Lisinski's, we remember them real well, his dad and all of them up at the donut shop.
Everybody always called him Larry Lou.
Yeah. And he and I worked together at Ozark Airlines at one time.
Wow.
And, then he moved on. He was pilot, and I was ground service. So we go back a while, as far as in our working careers, and both of us, I stayed on and later went with Eastern. He went on Ozark, I think, sold two or three times, TWA and maybe US Air. I'm not sure how. All airlines was somebody was gobbling them up, either two or three at a time.
Now you were in the Navy.
Mm-hmm. And I was an aircraft mechanic there.
Yeah, I was talking to a gentleman this morning, Bill Allen. And you may know Bill. I know you do, Bud.
Yeah.
Today's D-Day, 70 years ago.
Today's D-Day. It sure is.
You guys may have seen it, but on PBS, they did a documentary on D-Day, and they had the people that were actually there landing. They were on the television show. And Bill Allen, I was so proud of him. He did such a good job. And he has such a great memory of what was going on during that particular day. Oh. It's an extremely emotional time for them. But just going back, I know that they really appreciated the opportunity to go back there, visit. Actually, Bill went down in a small submarine and got to go around the ship that was sunk that he was on. And he could tell them exactly where everything was. And it was just it was a remarkable time. But you think 70 years ago, it just doesn't seem possible.
Mm-mm. He was out there at the Field of Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Don Wright and him had out there, and then along with Stephane Haynes.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
another. Boy, they both have keen memories. That's what's amazing to me. They just almost just like living it again, you know, verbatim.
I'm sure that's exactly what's happening. They do just relive it over and over and over.
Right down the course.
But, Mr. Allen works at Woodfin's,
uh-huh,
and he's worked at Woodfin's really since he's been back from D-Day and all.
Yeah.
And I always enjoy him because he can tell you about things that happened and how things have changed. And
when he's telling it, you relive it with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think Bubba has to come out and stop him sometime for what he's telling. But it's really amazing to see the changes have been made. And we've seen a lot of the changes, too, because, you know, the ambulances used to run to all wrecks, you know.
Oh, yeah, they did.
They would run to the wrecks. And so it's,
those,
it's
those
really
Cadillacs
changed.
Would be in the wind, too.
Yeah, and it's changed a lot. But his memory is the best I've ever seen. There's one other fellow, Jimmy Montgomery. He had, him and Jimmy had the best minds of anybody I believe I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Those two.
And I remember you and I were talking about Jimmy Montgomery one time when Paul was up here.
Yeah.
And I think that we probably misspoke a few things.
Yeah.
And Paul had to take over and correct us.
Well, see, he's listening now, and if we get too far out, well, he can get that thing straightened up too. You know.
You got a live mic over there.
Right.
Now, what are you feeding us today, Jerry?
Let's see, what this Friday, isn't it?
Yes, it's Friday.
I can't remember the days. Well, today they will be, the ribs are on special today.
Oh. And then. Is that a full rack?
Mm-hmm, half or full, but uh-huh. A full rack's really on sale. Yeah, that's one knocks down.
Now, how much can we get a full rack for today?
Well, it's $2 off, so that's $13.99, I guess.
$13.99 for a full rack? Mm-hmm. That's pretty cheap.
Very.
Now, is it dry or wet?
I'd say moist. Not really soaking, and it's not a dry rub. It's got a little little sauce on it just to keep it from drying out. But it's not like soaking wet.
Now, is it true that you stole that recipe from that little place down in Memphis? In that little cave or whatever it is?
No. Actually, all that barbecue business came after that strike with Eastern Airlines. My son had managed a barbecue, was in Georgia at that time, and for a friend of mine that worked at Eastern, everybody was doing different things. I was in the truck line business after that, trying to drive, and he worked for him, and the truck lines was sending some boys to Nashville, and I was going to put my name in the hat. I want to get back home. Fortunate enough to get here, and he said, well, Dad, if you get up there, let's see if we can open a barbecue up. So really, I opened it up for him. But then the truck lines get bought out, so I go in as a partner with them. And I knew a little bit about it, but I was more into cooking. I remember, well, we had dry beans ever since I can remember. So when it come to doing the white beans or something, I knew how to wash them and probably season and do stuff like that and fry stuff and temperatures. Some of the barbecue and sauces I knew nothing about. I didn't know how to make them. But most of the cooking and stuff I was pretty familiar with. Now, meats is another thing, learning that I just thought of ribs was ribs until I got acquainted with Bob Cole in Nashville. He showed me a sheet of ribs. They cut them so many different ways, you know. So they got the St. Louis and the baby back and the brisket on and brisket off. And I said, oh, Lord. He said, you don't know much about ribs, do you, brother? I said, I know they come off a side or whatever. And so he's the one I'd really give him a...
Now, which one do you specialize in?
The St. Louis cut.
The St. Louis cut.
And it's a meaty rib and straight out. It's not tapered down, you know, and you get full block of meat there. Mm-hmm. About 2 3/4 pounds. Mm-hmm. And they've been a hit for their one so far. But you learn a lot as you go along, too, and new and different ways. And, of course, new and different equipment. They got all kind of equipment now, you know, where you cook and hold or cook it overnight if you want to, put the temp on just like baking a cake, set it so many hours and whatever you want to cook at and what degree. So it's not like the old time ways where you stay with it all the time as far as your meats, you know. You have to be there, pull the coals out because it's catching on fire and all. So it's just like I say, we've advanced quite a bit from even in the cooking areas. I'll still go back to the old home economic days. I mean, I used to love those girls on that cook and we'd try to get the samples.
Have you ever heard the old saying, you need to sing for your supper or something like that?
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Now, if Paul would join our conversation, and we're talking about Paul Nipper.
Oh, yeah.
One of the great athletes to come over at Central years ago. If he joins our conversation, could you afford to give him a free meal?
Oh, Lord, yeah. Yeah, I'd take care of Paul anyhow. He and I go way back. Hey, I consider him one of my best friends.
Now, Bud and I, we've already graduated to a free meal, right?
Yes, sir.
Already
today. Y'all in the hook. Yeah.
You know you're in competition. You don't serve breakfast on Woodbury Highway, do you?
No.
Bud is serving breakfast now.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
He's like you. He's an early bird. He gets up early enough to cook it. At best would be a brunch.
I rise at 4 o'clock.
Oh, Lord.
But I think he's a little bit later. Not much, though.
Yeah, 5:15.
5:15. But Bud's one of these. He wants everybody to be happy. And you know, a happy worker, does a good job. So he feeds everybody early in the morning. Gets up early enough, fixes breakfast, eggs, everything. And now he's feeding Melissa McCullough, who works here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Of course, she's our big star, a rising star here in Rutherford
County.
That's
right.
She's singing all over the place. So,
my goodness.
We got a good bunch. And the thing about it is, we're all Woodbury boys, aren't we? Mm. Woodbury Highway boys.
Yep.
And we get along now, don't we?
Oh, Lord, yeah.
That's not always the way it was,
no.
Is it?
But it got over real quick and got back together.
Well, it depended.
Oh, yeah. Some of them carry things.
But anyway, you know, the Jakes Avenue bunch, we were the toughest, weren't we, Bud?
Oh, well, I knew I had to be pretty tough to live.
It was the best place in the world to grow up. I mean, you could get into some scrapes and things like that, but I don't know of another group that stays together as long as we have. And it is very, very special for us.
If you could survive an attack from Buddy Wallace and Bud Mitchell, you'd be in pretty good shape down there. That was an arsenal.
We had a good time, you know, but, you know, of all the things you think of is friendships. And,
oh, yeah.
And one of the things that happened, and I've said this before, I think, on this show, but I got into the National Guard. And I met more people from all over this county.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'd be like if it's from Fosterville or Eagleville or wherever, you know, you were one as far as what we were doing in the Guard. And then great things have really happened because I got in the fire department and I met a lot more people. And these units, we would get together with them, and it was kind of like the Guard, you know, it's people all over the county. But we had a common cause, and we were from, I guess, what it would call a common place, Rutherford County.
You had one of a very successful fire department. It still is. It's right there at the top. Mm. And I think the thing that's so remarkable about what y'all have done is you really haven't needed any support financially or otherwise because you've been right at there working every day. You all have jobs, but yet you've managed enough time to make sure that the fire department is taken care of and everybody gets their training. And I don't think, I said this before, I think that is probably the one segment in the county government that has really thrived without having a whole lot of support from the county government, and I find that extremely amazing. And I don't know how they rate the insurances and things like that with the fire departments. I think it's kind of specialized, but I can tell you from what I've seen, there's nothing better than what you guys do.
Well, we wound up with a 5 rating. We were one of the first ones in the county to get that, but we've managed to manage our money well and to be self-supporting. And I know the county has taken over like 3 or 4 departments mm-hmm. now. And one maybe having financial trouble, they would, what they say, bail them out. But I noticed now that they're wanting to have full-time fire people, but mm-hmm. it would be like for the Rutherford County, I believe number one, station, but that's the only trouble with that. It's on the other side of Murfreesboro from Woodbury mm-hmm. Road. And so, you know, it doesn't really help us any, but I don't know what it'll finally come to. Maybe they may have to hire some, it may be 2 or 3 at each one
mm-hmm.
in the future. I mean, this is, you're looking down the road to the future, but the trouble with the fire departments is the regulations, the government regulations, and this is the trouble with everything now. You got so many regulations that it'll kind of dampen things. It's kind of like when we go to a fire. James Paul and I used to go to a fire, mm-hmm. full fire, house fire. We would roll off and fight that fire. Now you've got to have 2 on the hose, you know, this is government regulations, but it won't work for, you know, the average volunteer unit. But anyway, the regulations are so hard on these departments now that it's made a difference, is talking about having full-time firefighters even in the county. So I don't know what it'll finally come up to, but the people wanting to help is still great. We've had a full-time fire department as far as Kittrell goes, because we were right there at Bud's Tire, and when it goes off, we immediately go out quick as a city.
That's the perfect thing when you've got a fire department.
Well, the main thing about a fire department is response.
Right.
Getting there quick, and we've been able to do that, but it's just we're regulated to death. You know, you're regulated.
Are the regulations for your safety, the responding teams, or what exactly is that? Because it's going to slow you down.
Well,
somewhat.
It's like if you go into a house, a burning house, with your air and all on, they say 2 has to go in. Well, when you got 2 people on the truck and one's running the pumper, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, and are you going to sit there and let the house burn? And that's what they're telling you, let the house burn, or you got somebody to. And it really doesn't make sense either. But it's supposed to be for safety, but you can safety yourselves out too. See,
What would they do to the fire department if you had to break those particular regulations when you respond for an emergency reason? What can they do to you?
Oh, I'll have to tell you about that later.
Well, that's kind of like you're talking about getting to the fire with those regulations. Kind of like, wait till everybody shows up, then we fight the fire.
Yeah.
You know, so that's crazy. Yeah. That reminds me of a lot. And who writes those regulations? Another story. That movie that had that Navy diver. I can't remember the guy that was a diver, black guy, first black guy ever was a Navy diver, and they made the movie.
Yeah, I know which one
him.
You're talking about. Yeah,
and they kept telling him about when he lost that leg and he couldn't go back in, and that old chief was going to be his witness and all. They put him through the test, and he asked that old captain. He said, "Who wrote these new regulations, sir?" He said, "I did. His leg explains everything. He never had to hit dive tonight." He said, "That's what I thought, U.S. college." But sometimes a regulation wrote by people, that it makes sense, and I'm sure there's probably a degree of safety in there, but sometimes you just got to run and go, you know.
Yeah.
If somebody's bleeding out there, who are you going to wait till the medics get there? If you got a chance to put a tourniquet or something on them, you see? Yeah.
But see, we're so caught up in that sometimes people needing help don't get help because of regulations, because of lack of common sense, because of doing what is right. And you have a lot of people that wouldn't help even if they saw somebody fall and you know, I don't want to get sued. And you don't want that to happen. But still, you got to use common sense, you know, and it could make a difference in that person's life or even their home or whatever, you know.
Yeah, we had that in law enforcement, too. I've seen it over the last 40 years where we were able to do things to assist people, and it was just the common sense approach, the way that we would do things. And now they can't do the things that we used to. And it does. It causes a quagmire in all the things that you're trying to work on. And I think that sometimes it's like what's going on in education now. Mm-hmm. People ought to have to deal with those particular issues before they're allowed to make decisions on it. And we're in, like just like you said, Bud, we're in a era right now where there are too many things that are brought up because they affect someone deeply, and it may not be the best thing for the overall scenario. It's just for those particular people at the time. And the lobbying groups, they have a great deal of a power right now. We want to let you know, and let's go to something really, really fun. And we're talking about Premiere 6 movie theater, and that's in Jackson Heights. That's our old Prince's Theater right now. And they should have some great movies coming up. The Fault in Our Stars is rated PG-13. It's about a couple of young people that have cancer and how they deal with it. It's going to be a really, really great movie. Edge of Tomorrow, rated PG-13. I've been told that's going to be a great movie. Haven't seen it. Today's the first day. Maleficent is rated PG. Great movie. I've seen it twice. A Million Ways to Die in the West, rated R. Pretty tough movie. X-Men, Days of Future Past, PG-13. Good movie. I liked it. Godzilla, PG-13. I like the old Godzilla best, but still it's a good movie. Check GoSeeAMovie.com or call 896-4100 for their movie hotline for times and ticket prices. That's GoSeeAMovie.com or call 896-4100. And don't forget, Monday through Wednesday, popcorn is only $1.75 pop fresh daily.
Jim Tracy.
The first thing a new congressman does is put his hand on the Bible and take an oath. Too many forget their oath the instant they remove their hand. That's why our government is bankrupt. It can't pay its bills, and it won't keep its word. I'm Jim Tracy. I'm running for Congress to change that. Integrity is not just the main thing, it's the only thing. I'm Jim Tracy, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tracy for Congress. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help you devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs.
My name is Denise. I'm a scheduling care coordinator here at Home Care. I always want to make sure that both the client and the caregiver are in comfortable situations and that they enjoy each other's company and not think of it as a service.
Everybody needs a little help now and then, and At Home Care is here to help.
My name is Maria Ramirez, and I'm a healthcare coordinator for At Home Care. And what we do is personal care and support services for elderly and disabled. We also have young people that we work with, quad and paraplegics. On a daily basis, we schedule for these people that have needs, whether it's transportation, errands, housekeeping, personal needs. These are some of the things that we do.
Find out more at homecaretn.com or by calling 713-4639. With the passing of Habitat for Humanity's Beth Smith, their June 7th Sing, Shout, Raise the Roof concert will be rescheduled. Again, the event, which was scheduled for this Saturday at First Baptist Church on East Castle, Habitat for Humanity's Sing, Shout, Raise the Roof concert is being postponed.
Need to clean up your flower beds or to plant a fresh flower bed? Come over to the Habitat Restore and get your new garden tools. Come over to the Habitat Restore and get your new garden tools.
850 Mercury Boulevard.
Shopping at the Restore, yeah.
Get out of the house. Turn off the computers, the cell phones, and video games. Time to create some family memories with your mom, dad, your children, or your spouse, or maybe just spend some quality time with your friends. I'm Randy Boland from Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street between Highway 840 and Thompson Lane. Me and my staff treat people the way we would like to be treated when shopping for fishing, hunting, or shooting supplies. Murfreesboro Outdoors, open Monday through Saturday from 9 to 6 on Northwest Broad Street. I'm Randy Boland. Now, turn off the computers and go hunting or fishing.
If you want to participate in the middle half this year, you better, well, run. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. Registration for the middle half is Saturday morning at 10 a.m., and if you think you can wait and register later, Race Director Mona DeTate says you may not have that opportunity.
We've sold out 6 of the last 7 years. We didn't the second year. I think we increased way too much that second year. But we think we probably will sell out. We don't know how quickly. The year before, I think it was 11 days.
This year, the cap on runners is 3,250, up 250 from last year. The 2014 Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program completed 534 tax returns online and at the physical location, with more than $750,989 in tax refunds at Rutherford and Cannon counties. 502 returns were completed in person with an average refund of just over $1,700. 32 returns are completed online through My Free Taxes with an average refund of about $2,800. Fifth Third Bank also partnered with the program this year by taking their e-bus to different locations in Rutherford and Cannon counties to prepare taxes online. Two Rutherford County Sheriff's detectives received advanced training after completing a 10-week training course at the National Forensic Academy in Knoxville.
Detectives Steve Brown and Richard Brinkley were two of 24 students nationwide who learned overall proper crime scene management. Sheriff Robert Arnold said the training will give the detectives additional knowledge to solve and prosecute a variety of personal and property crimes. I'm Ron Jordan. You are up to date, and this is WGNS News.
Brought to you by Kester Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad across from Chevrolet in Murfreesboro.
Frequent headaches can be caused by many conditions, and I can help you find relief. Call 895-1253 for a free consultation.
WeatherEye. We'll see a few scattered showers and storms here this afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies, a high into the mid-80s. And we'll have winds out of the north between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 66.
That update brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Visit AdvanceAutoParts.com to buy the parts you need online and then pick them up at the store within 30 minutes. Only at Advance Auto Parts.
The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back with Jerry and Bud and maybe Paul. And this part of their show is brought to you by Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat. And did you know that 7 out of 10 Americans suffer a hearing loss after the age of 50? And that's pretty much goes across the board sitting right here. Now there is a way to restore your hearing, and you need to give Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat a call today. Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat has been Rutherford County's trusted provider of taking care of all the coughing, sneezing, stuffed-up feelings for almost two decades. Their team of caring physicians, audiologists, nurses, and administrators are standing ready for you and your family so you can improve your style of healthy living. They also have a mobile hearing unit that will actually come to your home and diagnose and fit you with a hearing device right in the comfort of your living room. Call Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat today at 848-9265. That's 848-9265. I haven't asked you today yet, Bud, how's Lincoln doing today?
That Lincoln is great. Me and him went around the field. It's about 12, 15 acres. We went around that field, and he'll just look and, you know, at nature. And
you weren't on the tractor, were you?
No, we was in a golf cart. But anyway, he really enjoys that. He can come to the house or shop, and that's where he's pointing. He's mm-hmm. pointing to go. Go out there, yeah. But he was 1 year old.
What's his very first word?
Tractor.
Track.
Not mama or daddy. Track.
Track. I would know.
Yeah. See, I'm blessed. I'm seeing what four generations of the Mitchell family right there, and I don't think the people out there, I'm sure they do realize it because they love you guys to death, but they're blessed to have a special group of people out there that, and of course we've all grown up together, and I think that you're about the only one left standing out in the rural communities that's still going strong with the roots as deep as y'all got them there. I mean, that's amazing. But I think it could have gone awry at one time because you were thinking about doing something else. I remember that. You were ready to get out and go see the world a little bit. There is another world outside of Jakes Avenue, you know.
Well, you know, I've thought about that, and I think I've said this too, that one of the things that keeps you here in Murfreesboro, mm-hmm. Rutherford County, is friendship.
Right.
And the people we know, the people that we've been around all our lives, and so many of them now, there's a lot of difference. These 70 years have made a lot of difference in the people, but there's still a lot of them out there, you know, and the friendship and all that's still there. And basically, people are still the same now. And especially, I think, with our generation, you see the love for one another and the caring, you know, and all of this is still there. And so this keeps us in Rutherford County.
And our class of 59, we're going to have our reunion on August the 16th.
Yeah.
And you're on that list. And if anybody is listening, you probably need to contact. I think you should have gotten your paperwork. I think most of us got ours just the other day. And there's a list of people that we haven't been able to contact that's on there. So you need to take a look at it. and let somebody know that's on that committee so that we can get in touch with them, or you can get in touch with them. But we want everybody there. I mean, this is a very special time for us. This is our first time that we've done it on a 5-year, because we're all getting older, and we want everybody to be there, and we don't want to miss out on anything. And I think that's important.
We was talking last night back to the graduation. I asked Mitchell, I said, how many graduated at Central when you graduated at your East? I believe it was about 163 or 164.
That's probably close, yeah.
And I said, you could took Kittrell, Walter Hill, Eagleville, Rockville, and all the county schools, and they still would not, their senior class would not come up to even that number. And there was today even probably 2 to 3 times more than that.
Right.
In these schools.
I can go back when my dad and mom and my aunts and uncles they all went to Kittrell.
Uh-huh.
And you would see some of the classes there that maybe have 15 people in them or 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about small schools and small classes like that. You really stay together. I mean, it's just like a small family as you grow up. And you've seen that. I can still remember back. I went to Kittrell in the first grade through the sixth grade.
Mm.
And then I transferred to Mitchell Nielsen in the seventh grade to be with Gilbert Sharon. And I still have a strong memory of all the things that happened during that time. Of course, we all grew up in a different time.
Mm.
I mean, we didn't have air conditioning in the schools.
Mm.
We had outhouses behind the schools that we had to walk, 100 yards or whatever it was to get to the outhouses. And people, they think about that right now. I mean, it would drive the kids crazy if they had to go through something like that.
They wouldn't know what to do.
But
you know, we could adjust back to those times,
yeah.
Or these never could adjust up to it. If it happened now,
yeah. but your teachers, you had such a great rapport with the teachers back then,
yeah.
Because it was almost one on one,
and
you knew which teacher you were going to get 3, 4, 5, 6 grades up from then.
Yeah, and with smaller classes, smaller numbers in the 10th, 11th, or 12th, whatever grades was, it was small numbers, and
yeah.
you knew really who was in that grade. Now, you know, at the bigger schools, you have no idea who's in the 12th grade, other than a little select few year round, you see.
I wonder what it would be like if Kittrell could have stayed there and did like Eagleville did. I mean, Eagleville still has that, actually, it's K through 12
right,
there.
Sure do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They look into those things. Oh, does that planning and all, but we've got a lot of schools. I brought that up the other day. It's amazing to me that we'll build another school to accommodate more students. Why don't we just add on to the ones we have? You could then put a $5 or $10 million add-on for a lot less than you could buy land, build a new school, put up the ball fields and all that. I mean, you could, and has a lot of land that they could add on easily. It wouldn't be no problem there. It's already paid for.
I think I've got Don Odom's number in here.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I saw Don.
Didn't look into that right there.
We were getting donuts, and he was in there. But Don is married to Kay's first cousin.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Don's a very fine fellow.
Oh, yes, he is.
And they got the right man in there. And, you know, this is what we need. It's kind of like the judges now. I'm not doing a political ad, but, you know.
Sure you are.
Oh, might as well.
all of these men that we know that are doing their jobs right,
yeah,
we need to stand behind them.
Yeah. We need loyalty to those people that are throwing everything they've got in those positions to make sure everything's
done
right.
They care about their job. They care about what they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to replace. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mark Rogers, he's one of the finest fellows I know. And I would go to bat for him anytime. And I'm just thankful that we got men like him that's in there, you know, to
experience
to be a
means
judge.
An awful
and,
lot.
Well, we're
that's
talking about
yeah.
we're talking about common sense,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I don't care how much education you got, what kind of degrees you got to put it into action.
Yeah.
And I told him we got so much of that, like at Kittrell, the fire department, on the job training. Now we got a lot of training out there, but on the job training is one of the best sources that you've ever had And if a man can't make it on the job training, he can't make it anyway, mm-hmm. you know. But these men that we got that's running, a lot of them you don't know, but need to check their background. And if they're doing their job, we need them in there. We need people that care, that use common sense, that are good people.
There's no position in county government that I know of that needs as much experience as what the judges have.
Yeah.
And you're right. And the other mixture, I think, that you have to be able to do your job correctly is you have to have the mind and the aptitude for the job, but you also have to have the heart. If you can't mix those two together, it's just not going to work because you're dealing with people in some really tough situations, and you need somebody to take care of it. And I know that very few times can I remember where I have thought that maybe we might be embarrassed by a decision that was made that may be political or something like that. You just don't see that here. I mean, these people are what's the old saying? Top drawer. They're in the top drawer.
Well, it's kind of like when you discipline children, you know, the Supreme Court, and it starts there and trickles down. Mm-hmm. When you take discipline out of the schools.
Which they have.
Yes. You see, you have the trouble that we're having. And until we get people that's in the Supreme Court that has some common sense with their laws, mm-hmm. we're going to get worse. And you say, how can we get worse? We can. But we need common sense people in there, and this is where we fail. We want to go for education, degrees and stuff like that, and not keep that common sense part out of there. So, you know, and I really think here in this county that we've got some of the finest men that can be had.
Well, I agree, and our education has been right at the top, but. It has been eroded by people from the outside uh-huh. trying to change the way that the classrooms are taken care of. And your mom, Miss Alice, was one of the sweetest ladies I've ever known. And I constantly wonder how people like when she was in the classroom, what she would say is how things have changed, because that's been a long time since she was there.
Let's talk about common sense. Frank Morris, he was a Murfreesboro firefighter, and about my age, she taught at McFadden at that time. And so Frank did something, and my mother told him that she was going to whip him. She said, you need to come back here in the back in the cloakroom. And so she carried him back there, and she said, Frank, she said, this is going to hurt me more than it does you, talking about the whipping. Mm-hmm. And he said, Frank, or Miss Mitchell, why are you going to whip me then?
Good question.
Well, we've heard that expression several times from our parents, but I never understood that.
But you know, that was a very important part of education. Yeah. What was learning? I mean, learning about life. And I was reading an article in the paper. It's one of these women that gives advice and columns and stuff like that. And she was just appalled that somebody was even thinking about whipping a child.
Oh, yeah.
And I say, where in the world? I mean, I don't think Dr. Spock had an idea of what in the world he was doing when he was making all of his statements back then.
Well, I think they get the word love mixed up.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
Caring love makes you do things that you wouldn't do if you didn't care. You know, you're going to just put it behind you, but you take care of that problem. Mm-hmm. And it sinks deep in the child when it's like that.
You know, we always, when Daddy would give me a whipping, which there were some pretty good whippings, or Mama, or if one of the neighbors would give me a whipping.
Send you home, yeah.
You know, it hurts, but you were not thinking about the pain of the whipping. Mm. You really weren't. You were thinking about what they were doing for you.
Yeah.
And I never will forget, I told Miss David Urey, and she could really swing a paddle. And I told her when we had all gotten older, I thanked her for what she did for me, because sometimes I think people, especially the teenagers, they want correcting.
Yeah.
And we're not just talking about sitting them in a corner somewhere. We're talking about doing the things that get their attention. And in my job, I saw it over and over again, the lack of respect from a child to his parents, and it would be parents almost every time that did not give them the love and the discipline that they needed, because they want to have some type of stability in their families.
Starts early in life.
Yeah.
Right at home, bring it on up. And if you don't break it in there at 13 and 14, 15 years old, it's a stick you grow by, or a measure you grow by, is discipline. And like he's talking about, if his neighbors had had to give you a spanking or lick or two or whatever, you felt like you hurt their feelings and you wanted to go back over there and play, mm-hmm. or, you know, and stuff. And you'd let them down more. You don't worry about the part that whipping, you get over that pretty quick. But it's amazing now, they tell these children, they go in there, you know, and they put them on that, what, that attention deficit disorder, and mm-hmm. then start throwing the drugs to them. Well, heck, I tell you what, the drug we had was wood.
Well, you know, one of the things I think about, I don't think I've ever fired anybody that's worked for me. I've had several people to work for me. I had this young man, and his parents were my friends, too. We actually used to race together, but he cut meat for me when I was over in the store, in the mm-hmm. grocery store, and he laid out, I don't know, 1 or 2 days, like I was on Friday and Saturday and Monday, he came in, and I looked at his eyes, and they were all bloodshot and everything, and I think that, I don't know where he was drinking or fooling with drugs, and mm-hmm. when he walked in, I said, I'm going to give you a choice. I said, I don't fire people, but I said, I'm going to fire you, but I'll give you 10 minutes to think about this. You can either quit in 10 minutes, or I'll fire you. Mm. So he went back to the corner, and I think he fought a few minutes, and he come back up here, and he says, you know, I quit. And the boy went, I believe he had trouble and went to jail over what he was doing, be mm-hmm. the drinking or the drugs. But, you know, in about 2 or 3 years, that boy came back, and he said, I want to thank you for what you did,
yeah.
because it helped me to think about what I was doing. Mm. And I couldn't understand anybody on drinking or drugs, because never had that problem. Mm. But, yeah, it helped.
It's consuming.
I thought a lot of the boy, but I knew it couldn't go on like it was, and his folks didn't too, and even they thanked me too. But he came back and thanked me. He said, you know, you really did me a favor, and I really appreciate that. And it made me feel good, even though, it happened like it did. But people want to be encouraged to do right, even though they're doing wrong, you know.
I had one working for me, and a good friend too, and alcohol did overcome him, and he embarrassed us a couple of times and himself, and I gave him a choice. I gave him a choice of either letting us send him to rehab and turn his life around, or I would have to dismiss him. And unfortunately, and he had quite a few years in, and unfortunately I had to let him go, because he wouldn't do it. He didn't have a problem, he didn't think. Well, and that's the sad thing about it, is it just consumes you so much, you can't see the reality of what's going on with it.
Usually people have to hit the bottom of the barrel, or it be spending or
and they have to make the decision.
Or whatever. And if they get there, they can see where they're at, you know.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break and let you know that Metal Max Roofing and Siding is taking care of us for this particular part of the show. And it's located at 900 Captain Joe Fulsham Drive. And that's just off Middle Tennessee Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. Steel is a unique material that can be recycled, conserving energy and natural resources. Steel is also an excellent cost-effective alternative to asphalt shingle roofs. Metal roofs are not only beautiful, resistant to wind damage, roof rust, are some and less expensive than asphalt shingles. They offer factory direct pricing, so you can buy your roofing and siding materials straight from the manufacturer without the middleman. Go by and see their friendly staff today and let them show you over 20 different colors of Metal Max Roofing and Siding. Give them a call today at 494-1693, 494-1693. Put them up on the website, www.metalmaxllc.com.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Get well, live well at Northside Healthcare.
Most people say they love the staff more than anything. We are a family.
Love it all. Never had met nicer people than right here.
I see the same people every day, and it's just like, you know, I almost feel like they're my grandparent or they're my loved one. I care about them.
I tell you what, they try really hard to please me. I know that. And I'm very hard to please.
Northside Healthcare on East MTCS Drive beside Middle Tennessee Christian School.
Shop directly from your farmer at the Rutherford County Farmers Market. Open each Tuesday and Friday from 7 a.m. until noon at the Lane Agripark Community Center on John R. Rice Boulevard. The Rutherford County Farmers Market is this area's producer-only farmers market, working hard to connect customers with their farmers since 1975. Meet your farmer and your neighbor at the Rutherford County Farmers Market, Tuesdays and Fridays, 7 a.m. until noon at the Lane Agripark, down from Sam's.
Hey, Murfreesboro. If you need a clean, reliable used car, but you've had credit challenges in your past, Easy Auto is now here to help. We are the home of the small down payment, and we've been treating people right in East Tennessee since 1991. And now we're in Murfreesboro. Easy Auto finances your sales tax and registration. You'll also have peace of mind knowing every vehicle comes with a free vehicle history report and goes through a 49-point inspection, including emissions testing. Come see us at 2006 South Church Street or browse our inventory and apply online anytime at easyautoonline.com.
Why not buy the easy way? Just come on down and see today. At Easy, we're always on your side. At Easy, we help you get your ride.
WGNS, Murfreesboro. The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
Well, welcome back with the guys. Of course, we're talking about Jerry and Bud and Paul, and really have enjoyed our conversations with Paul today.
Yeah.
It's been very informative, and actually it's been quite fun. Yeah. I didn't know that he was such an orator.
Yeah, secret. He's got secret stuff. He just don't share over there. So this is close. Yeah. The mic's down when it come out there.
Now, how many brothers did Paul have?
They was, how many was he, Paul?
Room full of them.
13 of us.
There's 13. There's about four or five girls.
We're only eight boys.
Five girls.
13 of you? Yeah. Whoa. Which one was the oldest?
Bud. Bud, my oldest brother.
Yeah. Oh.
He was 19, 21, I believe.
He got hurt real bad in World War II.
My sister was older than him. She was born in 1919.
My goodness.
One of my sisters.
That's unbelievable. You guys are really spread apart. What was there about, from the oldest to the youngest, what was the difference in age?
1944.
Oh, wow.
Good night.
The Caffey side of our family, they're really split out too, and there was 11 of them. But the odd thing about it is my granddaddy, Caffey, was born during the Civil War. And you can't think, well, how in the world could that be?
It's hard
but
to
it's
imagine,
true.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just funny. I'd love to go back and research family trees and just see how they're laid out and everything. Just like I used to go to old grave sites and look, and I'd read every one of them because they were so interesting. I haven't figured out yet what I'm going to put on my.
No.
One of the things that I always liked to do was talk to my grandmama. She was born in 1887.
Yeah.
And I talked to her about the changes that were made as it come along. Mm-hmm. And it's unbelievable the things she would tell me, you know. But we've seen a lot of changes too, but theirs was more drastic. And I say drastic. no electricity, no running water, basic stuff. They
we all went through that, too. We went through that.
Yeah, but not like they did. No. I mean, it wasn't available, you know, at all.
But you talk about where you grew up, right there in Jakestown. You guys lived in the store. And,
yeah,
of course,
we did.
It was a wooden store, and I can almost tell you the layout of it after all this time.
Yeah.
And now, but, now you live like in a palace. And
well, you know, that's the thing about it. We got two bathrooms in the house, and to have one bathroom would be like a king.
Oh, yeah.
See, we live like kings, but we don't realize that kings didn't even have what we got, you know, the basic people. You don't have to have, what I say, a lot of money. And it's not based on money anyway. Your life's not based on money. The older you get, the more you find this out. Riches is in family and friends and things
good
that
health,
you've done
health,
and things that people's done to you. This is riches,
true
riches that can't be bought.
Well, now, we thought we were in pretty good shape back then, too, because
we were.
The Sears and Roebuck catalog would come, I can't remember, once or twice a year.
Once a year. The thick one was once a year.
So that kept you in pretty good shape at that time. Yeah. Well, you know, we don't realize how blessed we are right now. And if you can enjoy all the best of things if you just do it with some type of appreciation. And the good Lord's taking care of all of us and need to give him thanks at least once a day for what he's doing for us. Well, I think Bud and Paul, I think I'm probably going to get Jackie and we'll go over to Slick Pig and eat today. You guys going to eat anywhere?
It'd be Slick Pig bait, I guess. You know, I was thinking, though, there's a song out called Old Friends. You ever heard that? Oh, Bill Gaither, I believe.
How does it go?
Says, Old Friends. And they'll tell you something about how they was, you know.
Uh-huh.
Then it says, Old Friends, and about the memories we had and all this. But it's just, I was thinking about that coming down here.
You've got a beautiful voice.
Oh, well, I don't know. But I like songs, I'll tell you that. But I wish I'd have... I just thought about that coming over. Old friends.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I tell you.
That's what makes life all what it's supposed to be.
Like you said, old friends, good health, and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it.
Okay, I want...
good food.
I want a rack, and I want some of that grape tea,
we'll get that
fruit tea that's brought in by whom? Who brings that in?
JoJo Medlin. She learned to make that out there at that kitchen y'all had at the jailhouse.
No, I don't think so. But I tell you what.
That wasn't something that captured stuff.
Joanna makes some great tea.
Oh, she does. Cakes, too.
And a lot of people think it comes from right there that you guys make it, but she brings it in.
Right.
And it's specially made, it is delicious.
She enjoys making that. I'll tell you, she loves it. And she'll be up on the square with it. When it opens up here.
You know, you don't even have to be hungry to go to Jerry's Slick Pig. You just go down there to have a lot of conversation.
Yeah, that's right.
I go down there to have conversation, and sometimes I'll put stuff in there to eat and drink, but the best tea in town.
How much do you charge us for the conversation?
Oh, well, it depends on what's on the plate. But I tell you now, it ain't nothing about charging. I love just to sit down and talk. I told a guy this. I enjoy people just coming in.
Yeah, I know.
You'll find somebody that you'll know and hadn't maybe seen in a while.
I know.
Somebody was out there one day wanted to know, was that Truman Jones back there? And I can't remember who in the heck that was.
Didn't have a gun in his hand, did he?
No.
You always look for that first before you tell.
And Spencer Reed comes out there.
Oh,
probably
I love
95
Spencer
years
Reed.
Old.
Love him.
Every Wednesday, eat that catfish.
Yeah.
And it was a gentleman, Harris, Peggy Harris.
Yeah, that's his daughter.
That's right. Her husband,
Jimmy.
Brings him
Jimmy
out,
Harris.
Jimmy. And one of the guys does concrete work, Dennis Ricks, was eating up there. And Jimmy turned around and says, that Dennis Ricks up there? I said, it is. He said, ask him. He knows. I believe it was J.T. Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was his dad, anyhow. Mm-hmm. Ask him, come to find out that Jimmy's dad had given Mr. Ricks a art welder years ago. Give it to him. So I don't know how to use it. Just let you have it.
Wow.
So he said, but I'd weld stuff for him to come by and all that stuff. I told him, he said, my goodness. They went back there and there's an acquaintance there, you see. He said, buddy, so I still got that thing that still works.
Wow.
So there's the old down-the-line friendships and things that happen in life.
So, ain't nothing like it. Mm-mm. All right, guys, we'll see you Monday morning at 9 o'clock. And we are going to have, this is D-Day, 70th anniversary today. We're going to have Bill Allen on Monday, and we're going to be talking about it. See you then.